Welcome to the Isaacs Accreditation Webinar, Self-Study Support Part 2 with Barbara Bram. Barbara Bram, PhD, is an executive coach and organizational development consultant who works with leaders who want to move their organizations forward and with individuals who want to realize their potential. A member of the International Coach Federation, she has earned their highest designation, Master Certified Coach. We are fortunate to have Barbara share her expertise on topics essential for the success of the self-study. This session will benefit steering committee chairs and members, as well as the people who will lead the self-study writing committees. Enjoy the presentation. Barbara, you can take over from here.
Thank you, Jacob, and welcome back to some of you who perhaps listened to part one, which was how to get ready to run your subcommittee meetings. And this focus of this particular 22-minute webinar here is to really talk about running the meetings after that first one when you lay the groundwork and lay the foundation. So how do you lead a meeting where people actually feel that you have achieved your goals? How do you hold a meeting where it's interactive and you actually build a sense of team and facilitate teamwork to happen in that meeting? What needs to exist for you to actually get decisions made so that you can progress? What if you have disruptive behaviors? How do you handle those? You know, maybe you've never really been in the role of chairing anything before, and all of a sudden, you're not quite sure what to do to keep this meeting effective and on target. And what do you do overall to make sure that the meeting is effective and that people aren't getting together after the meeting to have the meeting after the meeting to talk about what they did not like and what did not work well? So we've got a lot of ground to cover, and let's just jump into that right now. In your first meeting, after you've laid the foundation for what the work is of your subcommittee and why you're coming together and how this all fits into the Isaacs self-study, then you need to identify and describe how are we going to interact with each other. If you do this on the front end, it's going to eliminate so many problems for you that would likely come up later in the meeting. So you may have a lot fewer disruptive behaviors if you talk about your rules of engagement, sometimes called ground rules, around how you are going to interact with each other. So I have here some bullets of things that are very common in meetings. So what do we want to do about side conversations? So I'm over whispering to my neighbor, and it's very distracting. So if three or four people start having side conversations, you've just lost complete control of your meeting, and you're not going to move through your agenda, and people are going to have a meeting after the meeting saying that was not a well-run meeting. So if you can decide at the very first meeting, we're not going to have side conversations, we're all going to self-manage and not talk to our neighbors, but to really bring forward things to the whole group or keep them to ourselves until after the meeting. I think you want to have some kind of a conversation around the importance of participation from all members. We talked in the first series of webinar about the fact that some people are on this subcommittee and this is not their area of expertise. So if you don't have some guidelines around we need everyone's participation, you're going to have a subcommittee with six people, five people, but only two are actually participating. Then this third bullet here, overtalk, you might also think of that as people interrupting each other. So I started to talk and now you start talking over me and people can't hear both of us, and now we've got three or four, not side conversations, but we've got three or four conversations happening in the meeting. Which one are we supposed to be listening to? And a lot gets lost, and it feels very chaotic, doesn't feel like the meeting is well run, does not feel like the meeting is well structured. So a part of how we deal with interruptions, side conversations, has to do with just being respectful. When someone is speaking, we don't interrupt them. If someone makes a point that we disagree in a respectful way rather than a judgmental way or a critical, hurtful way. I think it never hurts to remind people of the importance of listening. for me, this ties in so closely these days with technology. So if people have their laptops in the meeting room because they have necessary materials, or perhaps they are the scribe or they're taking notes, well, are they more involved with their technology than actually listening to what's happening in the meeting? So I think these are some broad areas that you might want to discuss. And it doesn't need to take long. It can take 5-6 minutes of your first meeting, but you just bring forward how we want to interact with each other. Something that I've done in a lot of meetings is I've just had everyone just quickly brainstorm with themselves, what are things that happened in great meetings? And what are things that happened in meetings that felt like a waste of time? And you can even split your group into two and have half of the group talk together about what makes an effective meeting, half of the group talk about what makes an ineffective meeting, and then just capture their ideas on a flip chart or a whiteboard, and that can become the basis for your rules of engagement around interaction. Once you've done this, then if anyone starts to step outside of these rules of engagement, it's very easy to say, "Ooh, I think we're forgetting that we all agreed that we weren't going to have side conversations." Or, "I think we're forgetting that we didn't want to interrupt each other." You have a way of bringing forward to the group when there's something happening in the dynamic of the room that's not actually serving your purpose and your agenda. There's another kind of group or cluster of rules of engagement, and those are around the logistics of your meeting. Now, some of these you may discuss together, and some of these you may, as the meeting leader, just define and say, these are how we're going to operate. So one is, are you going to have the same meeting location each time you come together? If you can, that just gives you a consistency that's so useful. But some schools, you know, there's the space just rotates, and you can't be sure that you'll have the same space every time. So clarify that up front. Our meeting location will change, so you really need to pay attention to your agenda. We'll always be in this room, so always come here. Be clear about what time the meetings will start and when the meetings will stop. And then, this is the hard part. So whoever your timekeeper is needs to take the responsibility for, gee, it's 3:30, and we said we were going to start our meeting at 3:30, so I think we need to start. Maybe people are just chatting about the day, chatting about what they're going to do this weekend, news of what's going on in the world. And that timekeeper also needs to say, gosh, we're at 4 o'clock, and we said we were going to end at 4 o'clock. Or we're at 4:30, or whatever your ending time is. If you've established a start and a stop time, which you will, then you need to follow those start and stop times. Then logistics, are there particular materials that you want people to bring to this particular meeting? In which case, that would have been in your meeting agenda. Or are there materials that people need to bring to every meeting? So whenever you come, bring your template. Whenever you come, bring your Isaac guidelines. So whatever it might be, clarify just what people need to be prepared, the resources that they might need. Some of the self-study groups that I've worked with felt like anytime they had a committee meeting, it was a good occasion for food. So if that's what you all want to do, decide who's going to bring food, what are we going to have, will it be ready in advance? So arrange that before you get going. Then how will the notes be distributed? You're going to have someone who is your scribe, your scribe or your note taker. So do they distribute to everyone in the committee? Do they distribute to the chair and the steering committee? Do they distribute to people who are not on this committee, but would have a great interest in the work of this committee? So clarify, what is the distribution list? How will things be distributed? where will people go to get the minutes? So maybe they're loaded to the cloud, maybe they're sent out as an email, but that's part of the logistics that you don't want to have to go through every meeting. So set that up now at the very beginning of your committee work in your first meeting. And then finally, the last piece is to be very direct that there will be task assignments and that your preference will be that people volunteer to take on the various tasks that need to be done and that you as the leader will make assignments and will request that people take on certain tasks or duties if there is not a volunteer. So again, you're creating these rules of engagement, you're creating the ground rules for how the meetings are going to be run, how the logistics are going to be handled, and it just will save you so much time. And I promise you, it's going to save you a lot of heartache, things that you don't have to deal with later because you dealt with them up front. One of the things that people are going to wonder about is how are we going to make decisions? And it's very important. I said in the first webinar that when you make your meeting agenda, specify for each agenda item, what's the purpose? Do we need a decision? So if you have an agenda item where you need the committee to make a decision, what kind of decision is it going to be? Is it a command decision? Command means that you as the leader are going to make the decision. This is the way we're going to handle this task. Or is this a consultative decision? I want input from everyone on the committee, and then I'll take all of your ideas, all of your thoughts, all of your recommendations as consultants to me, and I will decide. But I'm not going to just make a command decision. I'm going to first gather your input, your thinking, your participation. Or is this a decision where we're just going to take a vote and we have 5 out of 6 people saying yes, then we're going to go forward with it. And we all agree that if we vote, then we all get behind that decision, even if our original vote was against that decision. And finally, we make decisions based on consensus. So it's really important that we all agree on this decision. So we keep talking, we keep exploring reservations, objections, concerns, until we all feel comfortable that we can say, yes, this is the direction we're going. This is the decision we're making. Another piece to be clear about is that there are some pieces of work that your committee is going to do that you present or offer to the steering committee. And the steering committee is going to make the decision on how it gets used, where it gets used, if more is needed, if some of it needs to be edited. So in that case, the whole committee is operating as a consultant to the steering committee. So the better you can clarify with everyone in the room what is the type of decision that you're making, the more people will feel engaged, more clarity they have, the more comfort they have, and the less you have meetings after the meeting around, not that I disagree with what was decided, but I really did not like the process of how we made that decision. So you can eliminate all those meetings after the meetings by being clear about your decisions at the very beginning. One of the roles that we talked about in the first webinar that your committee members can play is the role of asking questions. And certainly you as a meeting facilitator or even as the meeting leader can use questions. So sometimes there's a lot more power in asking than in telling. So I've just got a couple bullets here for when you might find questions to be particularly useful. So one time is to just open the discussion. So let's say your committee is working on something on school life you might say, what are some of the strengths of our assembly? And so you just offer a very big open-ended question and invites everyone to start to participate. Or you might say, how could we enhance the strengths that we've just identified? So use a question to open, broaden, be more expansive in your conversation and in your discussion. So that's really kind of covering that first bullet. Now, we also spoke in your rules of engagement about interaction that you want everyone to participate. So what do you do if you notice that someone has not been participating, hasn't said anything yet? Well, you can broaden participation by starting with my name and asking me a question. So, Barbara, we haven't heard from you yet about our challenges in this area. With your unique perspective, not being a part of the foreign language department, I'm wondering what you're thinking about this. So you might be able to leverage the fact that this is not my content expertise, but that I have an important perspective to bring. You can also use questions to focus the discussion. So you could say, how does this topic that we're discussing right now tie in with our agenda item? So ask someone to make the connection. Ask someone to build the bridge that reconnects you to your agenda. You can also use questions to move your meeting along. Remember, we're trying to have a time-referenced agenda. So you might say, are we ready to move on? Are we ready to make a decision? Are we ready to request that someone volunteer to take on this assignment? So you can ask a question that keeps the meeting progressing through those agenda items. And you can also use a question for decision. So if you want to use majority vote, you might say, are we ready to take a vote? Or you, if you feel that there's consensus in the room, that people are really in agreement, you might ask, it sounds as if we are in agreement. Is there anyone who is not comfortable with us going forward with this particular action, this particular step, this particular process? So you create more engagement, you create more involvement, you raise the energy when you use questions. There are certainly times to tell, and when you tell, then you make the meeting a little bit narrower, and there's also less engagement. So think about questioning as one of your skills that you as the leader, you as the facilitator, or whoever takes on the role of facilitator can use during the meeting. Now, what are the problems that you are likely to encounter in your committee meeting? Because this is just the nature of having a meeting. There are always things that come up that are challenges. And this is what makes a strong meeting facilitator is a person who knows how to deal with and address these problems so that they get handled when they're and before people start to say, oh, I hate going to those meetings. You don't want to get there. You want people to say, wow, you know, we kind of got into a snare, we hit a snag, and our meeting facilitator did a great job and just moved it right through. So if the discussion wanders, then whoever is your meeting facilitator who's playing that role, their job is to make sure they bring that discussion back to the point so they can say, that's an interesting idea. That's a great point. Let's put it, and something that I often use is something just simply called a parking lot. So you just have a flip chart where you have a place on your whiteboard. Let's put that in the parking lot for right now, and we'll come back to that after we get through the rest of our agenda items. Or you can have a person use that question, that bridge question that we just spoke about. I feel like we're on a tangent, and I wonder if someone could help connect these ideas so that we know that we are still focused on what it is that we're trying to accomplish here. Sometimes you will have people not participating in your meeting, not because they don't have something to say, not because they don't want to contribute. contribute, but they're slow in participating because they just happen to be a little bit introverted. And I'm one of those people who happens to be introverted, and so I sometimes just need time to think and collect my ideas before I'm actually ready to share them. So you might use a couple of techniques or strategies, such as, let's just take the next 2 or 3 minutes and everyone think quietly to yourself and jot down your ideas. And then, after 2 or 3 minutes, and you can do that on your phone, now turn to your neighbor or get with a partner and share your ideas. And then I'm going to go around and just hear one of your best ideas or two of your best ideas, so that now everyone is participating by creating a personal list. They've been in a conversation with a partner, and now the partners are reporting out. Another way to deal with low participation is to do a round robin. Say, this is such an important topic. I think we really need to hear everyone's thinking. So I'd like to just go around the room and have everyone weigh in on this. Who'd like to start? And then we'll go clockwise or counterclockwise. Or you might ask, sometimes your team is going to just get stuck. It just feels too difficult to make a decision, or maybe we don't have all the information we need. So I think you, as the facilitator, whoever plays that role, can say, it seems like we're a little bit stuck right now. And it can just be a breath of fresh air in the room to have someone name what's actually happening. And you can ask a question. How could we get unstuck? You can make a suggestion. I wonder if we need to get more information. I wonder if it would help for us to move on to the next agenda item and then come back to this. If people are interrupting, you can remind them of ground rules. And if people are having trouble prioritizing, then you can ask a question around if people want to take a vote. You can ask people to compare items. So these are just a few of the things that you're likely to run into as typical problem areas. So just to kind of give you a few more ideas about how you can troubleshoot those problems, you have just a few things here. A process comment is like what I said just a minute ago, that if you just say, I think we're stuck, or if you say, it seems like we haven't heard from everyone in the room, or if you say, I feel like we're on a tangent. Those are all examples of process comments. When you make a process comment, then you can follow it with refocusing on the task. So we're on the agenda item that says we need to gather data. We were trying to brainstorm a list of where would be the best places for us to gather this data. Could we go back to that? We talked about some ways to engage all of the participants, so that everyone is participating, and then they feel like it was a good use of their time. They really made a contribution. There's a reason for them to be there. Sometimes you can ask this question, what's not being said? Is there something that we're not surfacing, not discussing? We have an elephant in the room right now. It can also help to summarize. So at this point, we've decided these three things, or so far we've agreed that Barbara is going to do this, John is going to do that, and we're ready to find a person who could volunteer to do this part. So just letting people know what's been accomplished, where you are in the meeting. That's also great for the note taker, that and when you summarize the meeting, the note taker can make sure that he or she actually has all of those things captured in the notes. And then just making sure, it sounds like we all are agreed on this. Is anyone disagreeing? Or it feels like there's still a lot of disagreement. What else do we need to discuss? Would it be useful for us to come back to this next meeting? So these are just a few of the tools that you can use to troubleshoot in your meetings. And finally, take the last 2 minutes, won't need long, to to evaluate how did the meeting go. And you can do this by asking a couple of quick questions. I just love to hear two things that worked from today's meeting. Or is there anything that did not work? What should we start doing next time? Is there anything that we want to stop doing in our next meeting? But does anyone want to offer an appreciation? Anyone else in the room? Are there any requests of things that you need to be ready or prepared for our next meeting? And you can also just, again, use your whiteboard or a flip chart and put up two columns, and a plus sign and a minus sign, and just take 2 minutes. What did you like? What did you not like? And then you could also use that plus and minus for what do we want to continue? What do we want to stop? But give yourself some feedback so that you get better at this, because many of you, this is your first time to really be chairing this kind of a meeting. And as you get the feedback, it helps you get better and better. So I hope these little guidelines, tools, tips, techniques are going to help you have great meetings.
Thank you very much for your insightful presentation, Barbara. This material will greatly benefit everyone involved in creating the self-study, an essential contribution to school improvement through accreditation. If you have any questions, please call the Isaacs office at 312-750-1190. Thank you to everybody and have a great day.